Tarja Halonen, former president of Finland, first woman president of Finland.
Once is not enough.
She says once is not enough, served until 2012. Forbes named her among the 100 most powerful women in the world. I'll be speaking Friday night in Winnipeg. Saturday I'll be in Halifax, Sunday in Guelph, and then Sunday evening in Toronto. Juan Gonzalez will be in Kansas City on Friday night. You can check our website. Also, today's talks at UNESCO in Paris will be live streamed at UNESCO.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're listening to Democracy Now! During KBOO's last day of our fall membership drive, this is your last chance to support Democracy Now! On the airwaves and support this hard-hitting, deep-digging newscast. Call now and support. Can you do a dinner and a show with Amy Goodman for a $2,000 contribution? Or can you do a $5 a month and get the Democracy Now! 20 years covering the movements, or somewhere in between? Whatever amount works for you, call right now. And we have about, 600 to go in the next minute? We need you to call 877-500-5266. Call and support this essential community radio station.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up later this morning at 11 o'clock in Between the Covers, Jake Vermas speaks to poet Neil Aitken about his collection Babbage's Dream, evoking the designs of 19th century mathematician Charles Babbage, who conceptualized the first mechanical computer. That's Between the Covers at 11. And then at 11:30, the film show will look at two new documentaries. Charlie vs. Goliath is the story of Charlie Hardy's fight against big money in politics. Then the director of the Eco Film Festival, Don Smallman, will talk about Winona LaDuke's new film, First Daughter and the Black Snake. That's coming up later this morning on KBOO. Coming up in just about 1 minute, it's Voices from the Edge. And our guest host for September is Reverend Joseph Santos Lyons. And he welcomes Reyna Lopez from Oregon Latino Agenda for Action, and State Representative Diego Hernandez to look at how Latinos have achieved new political power in the state. That's coming right up. And in an honor of Reverend Joseph, a clergy person who is committed to spirituality and social justice, and I'm a clergy person too, I'm going to put a challenge out there to all clergy types, to all spiritual leaders of whatever tradition, who think that spirituality and social justice are connected together, to give during Joseph's show this morning and help keep this important social justice voice on the air. 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266.
KBOO would like to give a special thanks to our local community partner who donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by the Roxy, located at 1121 Southwest Stark Street in Portland. Breakfast is served any time at this 24-hour diner. Lunch was provided by Stupid Burger, located at 3441 North Vancouver Avenue in Portland, Oregon, 97227. Gourmet burgers, hot dogs, and fried fare from a yellow trailer. Dinner was provided by Tamale Boy Restaurant, Truck, and Catering, with three locations in Portland. Go to tamaleboy.com for more info. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
Good morning, Portland, Oregon. I'm Joseph Santos Lyons, guest host for the month of September, and it's almost over. I can't believe it. You're listening to Voices from the Edge on KBOO FM and streaming everywhere online. And we're here in studio this morning with two amazing organizers and people that I have the privilege of calling friends, Reyna Lopez and Diego Hernandez. How y'all doing? Good morning. Good morning. Folks had to roll in here at 7:45 a.m. and we are hanging out here on Burnside in Southeast Portland, and I think wishing we could have the whole day together, because it's a sort of beautiful day outside.
Yeah,
we could nice. Go berry picking or go to the mountains or have a barbecue. Diego, you had a huge barbecue on Monday.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Mexican food there as well, and everybody ate it all up.
That's awesome. That was at Alyssa Kenny Geyer's house, right? Nice, excellent. You know, Diego is in the state legislature now. He also is in leadership in the Democratic caucus. And so I heard you had almost 100 folks at your shindig on Monday. So congratulations on that. So we are here this morning just, you know, both, I think, to connect around the how the organizing, particularly with communities of color, has been able to also build political power here in Oregon. And, you know, excited to sort of both talk with Reyna and Diego about some of their experiences and observations. But before we do, I just wanted to say a little bit more about each of them. Reyna Lopez, I met when we were working on many, many of the campaigns. She was working with CAUSA initially and working on immigrant rights and the driver's card and tuition equity issues. And I was just a baby organizer at APANO. And I think we ended up sitting in the same offices together at the Left Bank for many years as it was sort of just sort of becoming sort of a hub for many of our community organizations. You know, Reyna, glad to have you here this morning. How are you holding up today?
I'm doing well. I got very little sleep. I wasn't nervous about talking on the radio this morning. I'm never nervous about that. It's just a lot going on in the world. And in addition to just all the things, I've been really bringing my feminism lens forward these days, and it's been kind of exhausting to try to do both. Bring my Latinx lens with the feminist lens, and it's been a whirlwind. So a lot of my brain space last night went to how we bring more gender justice into our movement, and believe you me, I just stayed up forever thinking about it. So you know, now I'm here and I'm doing well. But other than that, I'm just like, how do we bring this all together?
Yeah, we actually got a chance to connect yesterday briefly in the office. Yeah. And I think you were like, you know,
venting
slash challenging me, which is really good. And I'm so glad. I feel like you're sort of tip of the spear in some ways as a organizer. And Reyna currently is doing some work with Family Forward Oregon, and is one of their national and state organizers, and has also been the chair of the Oregon Latino Agenda for Action, which we'll also talk a little bit more about. Also in studio, we've got state representative Diego Hernandez from East Portland, and formerly, Diego was the co-executive director of Momentum Alliance, and I've also had a chance to connect with him when he worked as an organizer at Opal Environmental Justice Oregon. He's also a fellow Patos. He's a fellow U of O alum, like me.
Go Ducks.
Exactly, says the Willamette person.
I have mad respect.
So. I know. You know, Diego has been, he's finishing his first term in the state legislature, and we're super excited to have him in the studio as well. How you doing, Diego?
I'm doing okay. It's been pretty busy last few weeks. As you can imagine, not only what's happening in our country, but all the issues that happen within our state and even our local community. Our office gets emails and phone calls around issues, but particularly concerning some of the racial injustices that happen throughout our state and in our local communities, and asking for support takes up a lot of our time and energy to organize, which is our pleasure, but there seems to be more of it lately.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can just imagine, you know, knowing some of your experience and your commitment to working on sort of racial justice issues and immigrant rights, that you're even more of a of both a target as well as someone who is a key resource for the community, that your staff and you are really out there on the front lines, and really thank you for that. So, you know, actually speaking of the world and the state and the intersections of gender and race and sort of the intense political environment, we were sort of making a list of the things that are happening even this week, which, you know, I think, you know, we can just see what kind of thoughts and feelings, Reyna and Diego, you have, but I'll just name a few. You know, we're looking at Muslim Ban 3.0 and there's the hashtag no Muslim ban ever that's coming out of our Muslim and South Asian communities right now, and really preparing for some of the Supreme Court work and keeping the pressure on and really surfacing the impacts of these bans, even though they're trying to add in, I think, North Korea, you know, sort of a quote-unquote non-Muslim majority country. It still really is a sort of a way to target the Muslim community. There's the DACA fight and the announcement a few weeks ago that they're going to roll that back. And then, you know, there's what's happening in Puerto Rico. I was listening this morning how they're really, you know, underwhelming response from the U.S. government to support our sort of friends and family in Puerto Rico, which in many ways really, I think, underlines the national sort of racial bias that we're seeing. And then even locally here, there's the public case around the dismissal of Trisha Tillman and sort of the signal and the breaking of trust that has really, I think, sort of been highlighting here in Multnomah County, which has also been seen sometimes as a leader around racial equity issues historically. Just curious, Diego Reyna, if you want to react to any of the things that are happening in the world right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about Puerto Rico a lot. I have some dear, dear friends. My friend Hector, who is like a brother to me, whose family is over there. So asked them how they've been doing. They're doing okay, but there was a whole week where he had no contact with them. They're safe right now, but I mean, the reality is that even after the storm, even after everything, people do not have access to clean water in some places. There's still no access to phones, no electricity. It's a struggle every day to just survive. And the fact that we have a government that's moving slower than molasses to get them the help they need. This community has been an asset to the United States, and the fact that we are not supporting that as quickly as possible is a disgrace. And I mean, I have been happy to see some of the celebrities, you know, J-Lo and Mark Anthony and even people locally that are stepping up to raise money. But we can't let it just fall in the hands of individuals. We need to go 100% for our gente, our brothers and sisters out in Puerto Rico. I'm really saddened to see how our government is responding to this issue.
We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to KBOO FM. This is Voices from the Edge. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Voices from the Edge here on KBOO Community Radio. On this, our fall membership drive, we are pushing towards our goal, and we're trying to raise $19,000 today, and we are little by little getting there with your support. We want to thank Alon for renewing in Portland. Thank you so much. If you can call in with your contribution of any level, you'll be entered into a prize package today. You get a whole bunch of stuff today, five visits to the Game Night Lounge, a $50 gift certificate for New Deal Distillery, 4 passes for the Hollywood Theater, and a $25 gift certificate to Pacific Pie. You could have a couple of nights of fun there. With your contribution to KBOO, we urge you to call. Do not underestimate the importance of this community radio station, and call with your support. $10 a month gets you a t-shirt, Democracy Now! T-shirt, one of our other t-shirts. Call 877-500-5266. Again, 877-500-KBOO. My name is Jenka, and I'm here with my friend Lisa, and we are urging you to support this show and this station.
We have $105,000 to raise during the entire Fabulous Fall membership drive, and we're trying to raise $900 right here, right now, before the top of the hour. I want to say that our talk radio host today, Reverend Joseph Santos Lyons, is a progressive and visionary political and spiritual leader in Oregon and in Cascadia, okay? His guests, Reyna Lopez and Oregon State Representative Diego Rivera, are on the cutting edge of what's going right in our region. And I don't mean right wing. I mean, these people are bringing solutions and they're handing them to us. And many people are picking up the solutions, but not enough people. We need to get their word out. And I just have to stop and say Studio 2 is full of positive social change right now. And that's why it's important that you invest in KBOO Community Radio, because you learn more about what's really going on in our community, things that you can't hear about on Fox News. Bless their hearts, Fox News. KBOO has been handing the mic to real people since 1968. And when you call 877-500-5266, you invest in the station. The fact is, your money goes right back into the programming. None of it goes to a $500,000 CEO or three-figure staff salaries, and you know that. Mm-hmm. If you come in person to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, we'll show you, okay? You could see the Christopher Francisco photo exhibits from Standing Rock. We'll slice you a piece of banana bread, and you can have some coffee, and you sit down and meet real people and become really connected to the grassroots in this region, right? Right? I'm just putting that out. 877-500-526. Go online, kboo.fm. But we love your bright and shining morning face.
The number is 877-500-KBOO if you need to remember it. But call as soon as you have a moment. 877-500-KBOO.
We're back. I'm Joseph Santos Lyons, Voices from the Edge, with Diego Hernandez and Reyna Lopez. And just before the break, Reyna was, I think, just reflecting on sort of both Puerto Rico and the long history, of course, we have in terms of having a relationship with the island. Some of it's been colonial. Some of it now, I think there's an effort to really, you know, I think in this moment, particularly of crisis, you know, we have a duty of care and a duty and responsibility to support folks out there. But we're really seeing a huge disparity in terms of how they're being treated. And it's pretty heartbreaking. And we're seeing other heartbreaks here around the country. And Diego, wanted to get your take on what you're seeing also in the world in terms of things that are happening.
I think just to stay on the Puerto Rico, as a country, we organized and mobilized pretty quickly around Houston, in Miami and Florida. And it was shocking to me to see how, as a country and also as a federal government, it took us so long to respond to the needs and calls for help from Puerto Rico. My office has been working with Ana del Rocio to work with my Democratic caucus to send a letter to our congressional leaders and senators, urging them to support Puerto Rico with additional resources, but also extending the Jones Act to longer than 10 days. This morning, the president waived the Jones Act, but it was only for 10 days. And that's not okay.
And tell us about what's the Jones Act?
International relief. The ability for Puerto Rico to have international relief.
So for now, folks around the country, or around the world, can make contributions to Puerto Rico, but only for 10 days.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Well, we're going to shift gears. And also, if there are callers out there who have a question for Diego or Reyna, you can call in 503-231-8187. So Oregon has been going through a pretty massive racial demographic shift. I actually grew up here in the 70s, and I think folks of color were less than 10%. And being in a mixed-race family here in Oregon, for me, was super isolating. And I know many folks of color come to the state, you know, today, and there's been lots, I think, in the news, too, about just how white the state is. But at the same time, it's also been changing pretty substantially. There's really over 25% folks of color now in Oregon, 1 in 4 Oregonians, and that number is only growing. Latinos and Asian Pacific Islanders are the fastest growing populations here in the state. But when we look at our politics and our political world, we really don't see that diversity represented in our elected bodies, in the legislature. And I know that both of you have been doing work both to build more equity, more representation here into Oregon, to bring the voices of our communities to the center, both as an organizer and now as an elected. And just wanted to get your thoughts on really what do you think has, you know, well, I think we've talked a lot about in the media what has led to this point. People understand a lot of the racist history. People understand sort of the ways in which white supremacy has been deeply institutionalized, and Oregon has become sort of this exceptional state for white people. But I'm a little bit curious maybe more about the role you have been trying to play and what that's been like. And Raina, let's start with you.
Yeah. Well, for me, I love this state. I've grown up here my whole life. Both my parents came up here in the 80s to do farm work. I'm a daughter of farm workers. I grew up in Salem, Oregon. And during that time, we were one of the first Latino families on the street that I grew up in. And it was a really hard time. There was a lot of racial slurs that were yelled at us when we were young. And there was a lot of the no Spanish, English only in the classroom that was happening in those times, and which is really weird to think about now, honestly.
And the 80s were not like the 50s.
No, definitely not. Yeah. But they were able to benefit from the amnesty program of 1986.
Under Ronald Reagan.
That's right. Yeah. And because of that, there were so many opportunities that came my way. I was the first person in my house to be able to go to college and follow my dreams. And then when I decided to go into politics, I started working for a senator back in 2007 for Senator Ben Westland. And I think that was one of the first moments where I was like, I need to change this. So, I mean, now this is all coming into fruition through my position as the chair of Oregon Latino Agenda for Action, where we're really trying to figure out what these projections in 2030, basically, we're going to be a pretty big chunk of the community. Right now, we make up about 4.7% of the electoral community as Latinos, but we want to make sure that we're moving with the times and that we're making voter education as accessible as possible to new Latinx voters, new voters that are becoming citizens, our community at large, because right now they're being given messages by the government that this thing just ain't for them, and we want to let them know that it is for them, and we got to move. We got to be in there.
Hmm. We'll be right back. We'll talk to State Representative Diego Hernandez about his take. We'll be right back. Thanks.
I'm Lisa. I'm here with my friend and compatriot, Cenk Soderberg. You are listening to the mighty 90.7 FM in Portland, 91.9 FM in Hood River, 104.3 FM in Corvallis, Albany. We have $105,000 to raise during this fabulous fall membership drive. Today is the last day, okay? We're trying to raise $900 before the top of the hour. The number to call, 877-500-5266. I already said it a few minutes ago. Studio 2 is filled with positive social change right now. It's coming over the airwaves right into your vehicle, your living room, your life, your office, your ears. This is what we bring. Please donate. Please invest in this programming. 877-500-5266. We have a whole bunch of people to thank.
Yeah, we want to thank Paul from Northeast Portland.
Yay,
who
Paul
increased his monthly
Woo
contribution. So if you already give $5 a month, consider maybe increasing it to $15, maybe to $20, maybe to $25, and get yourself a KBOO hoodie and wrap yourself up in community radio love. I'm wearing my hoodie right now. The only way to get a KBOO hoodie is to be a part of the monthly contribution club of $25 a month. 877-500-5266. We want to thank Keith.
Yay,
in
Keith.
Mount Hood. Thank you so much, Keith, coming through those fires and contributing to community radio. Again, John,
Yay,
Northwest Portland.
Thanks, John.
And Carol in North Portland. Kirk
Carol
in North Portland.
Kirk,
and
Kirk,
Dane from
Whoa,
West
Dane
Portland. Thank you all so much for contributing. And we want to make our goal for this hour. We have $900 to go. If one person decides to do that dinner and a show with Amy Goodman, that's a $2,000 contribution to KBOO. You get to sit down with Amy Goodman and have her ear for a couple of hours, and then go and see the live broadcast of Democracy Now! in action. Divest from the corporate empire and invest in your community. Make a major contribution. Dig deep. Can you do it? That's a $2,000 gift. Maybe what works for you is the $25 a month and you can get the KBOO hoodie. Call right now, whatever level you can do. 877-500-5266 to support this incredible programming that Joseph is bringing us right now.
You know, a lot of times people think you have to be rich to invest, but you don't. And actually, it's been true for generations that the people in the United States that contribute the most money to nonprofits and to charities in general are not rich people. They're everyday people like you. Mm-hmm. Us, all of us together, we join our resources and we make social change happen. And we've already talked about, normally, this show is usually hosted by Joanne Hardesty. This show is many, many years old, right? But Joanne's running for city council, right? She's making a move to be a real leader, a very even more powerful leader in our communities. And now we've
She's already a real leader.
I know, but now I'm just saying it's a different level. And what Reverend Joseph Santos Lyons is doing right now as he sits in on the show is he's showing you, he's bringing you to and connecting you to some of the people in our communities that do the most rubber on the road, actually making things happen. We're here with Reyna Lopez and Oregon State Representative Diego Rivera. Hernandez, you can actually call up and talk to these people, and that's what this is all about.
It's incredible. You know, I have to admit, I was skeptical because I love Joanne so much. I listen to her show every single week, and then I heard, well, there's going to be a different host. I love Joseph. I love listening to Joseph. I love the guests that he's been bringing on, and I love the perspective that he brings. I mean, this is so essential, and it's so refreshing to hear Joseph, and I really, really love this program, and I hope that you do as well, and you listen on a regular basis, or maybe you've just tuned in and you're wondering what this is. This is community radio, and this is where we all come together. Everybody contributes what they can. It's like a potluck on the airwaves. Everyone contributes what they can, and we all come out better for it. 877-500-5266. Everyone who calls will be entered into our drawing for a number of passes to all kinds of different fun stuff. 877-500-5266.
I'm so excited about Diego Hernandez that I'm turning him into one of the greatest artists in the history of the world. Right on. That's what this is about. But I also want to say, if you come in person to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, right? We love your bright and shining morning face. You can have a slice of banana bread with walnuts made by the incredible Eugene C. Bradley, who is a human being, not a computer, another KBOO volunteer. And you can see this photo exhibit of photos by Christopher Francisco. You know, when you do give a call and contribute to KBOO, 877-500-5266, part of what happens is we share those resources with local people, local artists. Christopher Francisco is an indigenous multimedia journalist. He went to Standing Rock. He brought back video. He brought back photographs, images. These black and white photos are on display here where we have the fabulous Palace of Pledge at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. And you can purchase one with your KBOO membership. You can put down $60. That's only $5 a month. And you can have your choice of these incredible images. And I'll say it again. Christopher,
I want some Standing Rock on my wall.
Yeah,
I want some of that.
Christopher was shot doing that. He was shot doing that. We're talking about dangerous media. We're talking about where it really matters. And that's where you are. 877-500-5266 online, kboo.fm, or in person, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Come down. They're cracking up.
Okay, we're back. This is Joseph Santos Lyons, Voices from the Edge. Just wanted to give a shout out to my friend Diego Hernandez, and just to say, not Diego Rivera. Diego Rivera is an amazing artist and maybe also a
salsa dancer.
We're learning.
Although I do both.
And a shout out to Ana Del Rocio, who texted in the friendly reminder. And so you're listening to Voices from the Edge. I'm Joseph Santos Lyons here with Diego Hernandez and Reyna Lopez. And, you know, Diego, wanted to go to you and just, you know, both share a little bit about how you got into sort of politics, your sort of Oregon story, and sort of build on sort of where Reyna was taking us.
Yeah, and similar, you know, my life experience and story is very similar to Reyna's. My parents also came here in the 80s and worked in factories. I grew up with my mom, though. She raised four of us on her own, and I ended up going to six different elementary schools and three different middle schools, and eventually stayed at one high school and became a first-generation college student. It wasn't until I got to college that my mind really just exploded in terms of being exposed to realities that when you grow up poor, you kind of grow up in this small ecosystem, an environment that limits your possibilities. And once I got to college, I realized that anything was possible and there was so much to learn. And that's what I did. I learned a lot about history, United States history, in a way that was really critical. I took ethnic studies courses. I joined student government. I joined student unions, fighting for student rights, fighting for racial justice. Thanks to that work, I think I got really passionate about community organizing and social justice, which led me to pursue that right after college and work with you, Joseph, at Open Environmental Justice Oregon, doing environmental justice work. And I went on to grad school and continued to go to school and do community-based work at the same time. So my passion has always been dedicated towards the movement and using my energy and my experiences to try to make this world a better place. That's why I worked with Momentum Alliance and helped create an organization that would develop our next generation of really critical, intersectional, feminist social justice leaders in a way that challenges the status quo, but also in a way that really challenges the way that we look at our current systems, our current institutions, even our current finance systems, and really allows young people to lead in an authentic way, both mm-hmm. on the board and on staff and on the youth who are part of the program. So that's my passion, building that pipeline to get young people, people of color, into roles that we've historically not have had access to and purposely oppressed to not to. And that's one of my passions.
You're listening to Voices from the Edge. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 503-231-8187. Just want to just follow up on, Diego, what you're talking about in terms of the pipeline piece, and then come back to Raina. You know, in the legislature, you know, this is your first term. You've hired a staff. I think that's been almost all, or if not majority, folks of color. Folks maybe the first time in the building. You know, I think from the APANO and many other orgs of color perspective, your office in the legislature was sort of a home base, sort of a safe spot, sort of like a sanctuary, and you could really feel the energy coming out of your office in a way that was really both, I think, healing and supportive and sort of transformative, and really a place that, you know, unlike most of the other offices. And I can imagine, you know, back in the day, you know, Margaret Carter, Avil Gordley, other folks who have been in the legislature, Joanne Bowman, Joanne Hardesty now, you know, having spaces like that. And just, you know, what was that like trying to create that space in the legislature that also was able to sort of fulfill some of your mission around getting more young folks and young folks of color involved in our political process?
It was actually really interesting because I'm on the third floor with not many Democrats, actually all Republicans. And if you go up to the third floor and you see my office, the first thing you see is Native American art. You see Black Lives Matter stickers. You see immigrants are welcome here. You see Chicano art. It's a very multicultural space. And I wanted to bring in the values in which I really believe in my hiring practices, and therefore what I did, my staff was really diverse. I had folks of color, but I also had folks with disabilities and LGBTQ folks on my team, and it was very diverse, probably one of the most, actually the most diverse team in the legislature. And
no family members.
No family members.
I know that was a thing in the media recently. A majority of, although they don't quite pay enough to be legislators.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so starting off with having the right folks there, I think created an energy and environment that we all were there, that were mission-based, and that we were there to not only shift the culture of the institution, but also fight for changes in which our state really needs.
Well, and so Raina, you know, you've been lobbying and organizing and bringing members to legislature for years on issues like tuition equity and the driver's card. And just, you know, from your perspective, like, what does it feel or what does it mean to have more legislators of color who share, you know, an experience with the communities that are most affected versus the times when you had to go there and it was predominantly all white?
It means the world. I mean, I had so much fun watching Diego, Representative Hernandez, you know, Teres Alonso, the good Representative Woodburn, and just I felt so proud being in the building because, I mean, like I said, my first political gig was for Senator Wesson in 07 when I was the only Latina working
state for senator, a senator from Bend.
Yes, yeah. He was a state, and then he became our treasurer, and now he's joined on. The Angels. Yeah. But but I really have felt that throughout my time doing this organizing work, we started with community organizing, really rallying around the issues that we care about the most, telling our stories, registering voters, being present, just rallying in front of the building, getting the Dreamers in the building through tuition equity and the driver's license issue that's still an issue today. And we were realizing that we were hitting so many, we were starting to win campaigns, but some of the things that we were winning, we had to defend with our lives, you know, with Measure 88 going on the ballot and losing in a huge way. And after that, me understanding that we need to have a real big cultural shift in Oregon in order to actually win real racial justice in this state. That's going to involve not just community organizing. That involves electoral politics, getting people like Diego in the building, getting people. Right now we have, you know, Diego, we have Teresa, we have a couple other folks, but we have nobody on the federal level. We have some commissioners. I think about 2% of the commissioners are Latinos statewide, but we still need more. I do also feel like that vision, the policy vision is really, really key. And we have to continue fighting for issues that not just affect Latinos, but Latinos, we need to be behind other issues that people of color care about. We need to be behind the Black Lives Matters movement. We need to stand behind Standing Rock and our Indigenous brothers and sisters, because those are our people too. Mm-hmm. You know, we all came from Indigenous backgrounds. I just did that Ancestry.com thing, well, my sister did, and it told me I was 38% Native North American. And I'm just like, okay, well, let's remember that, you know, right now they're calling us, you know, Trump's calling us immigrants and telling us to go back to our country. But the reality is that these lands have been our people's for a very long time. And things are really coming into fruition in our state. And I think that a lot of that is going to mean us doing everything we can to really have a big, bold vision about what we want to do in the state, and getting out there and educating the community and making it as easy as humanly possible for our people to get engaged and get involved, even if that in any way that is meaningful to them. It doesn't have to be in all the ways that we do things, but some people prefer to do art, some people prefer to dance, some people have all these other strengths that need to be brought into the movement around building political power for people of color.
So Oregon has, I think, over 500,000 folks of Latina descent here in the state. And you're saying that less than 2% of our electeds, and maybe even in some places 0% are Latino, especially even in communities where there's a substantial concentration of folks of Latino descent. And I know one of the infrastructures that you're working with now is the Oregon Latino Agenda for Action. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what that's been like, and, you know, Diego, if you have anything else to add in terms of like what kind of space is being created with OLA.
Yeah, we just actually came off of one of our programs this last month in August, the Latinx Institute for Public Service, where we're really trying to bring together a group of Latinos who want to step into these leadership roles, and we want to create the space to make sure that they know that they're supported, that there's trainings available for them to be able to understand and navigate the potential isolation that they can and will go through when they become elected officials or when they become board leaders or what have you, and making sure that we continue that legacy for the future and learn from the lessons of people like Diego and other folks of color that have had to go through that experience. That's my C3 work through OLA, but through my C4 work, I'm also on the board of Acción Política Pecunista, which is the electoral arm of PECUN. And that group of folks is actually doing a lot of on the ground, knocking on doors, getting out there for elected candidates in a little bit more cutthroat political way, which is, which I love seeing.
People to people.
Yeah, people to people, face to face, in the trenches, which is some of the hardest work that you can do, but it's some of the most important work. But also through OLA, making sure that we create those spaces, we facilitate those conversations, and that there's support and community being built.
You're listening to Voices from the Edge. We'll be right back. Thanks.
You're listening to Voices from the Edge here on KBOO Community Radio, where we are trying to raise money on this, the last day of our fall membership drive. Maybe you've heard us a few times over the last few days asking for your support. Well, now is the time to give. If you've been putting it off, don't put it off any longer. Call right now. Help us reach our goal. We have had a great morning. We've had a lot of people calling in, supporting these shows. We need support right now for Voices from the Edge. And we want to raise $900 in the next 20 minutes. Call right now and support whatever level you can. You know, a $30 a month contribution ends up being $360 for KBOO. That's a real substantial contribution towards our goal. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. It's 877-500-KBOO.
I read many newspapers every day, but I don't actually feel very well informed until I listen to KBOO. For me personally, especially a show like this where you've got guests that you've never even heard of these guests before, and then you understand that they're completely connected to the issues that you care about right at the grassroots. They're telling you what's really going on, and these are the things that are never going to be a headline in the daily newspaper. Oh wait, we don't have a daily newspaper anymore, but that's cool too. That's cool because you have KBOO. KBOO has been handing the mic to real people since 1968, and the number to call 877-500-5266. Keep this institution vital. Keep this institution strong. And, you know, we see that there's a critical mass of intelligent, progressive people being onboarded into the state legislature and other institutions, electoral institutions. And that's why, even though some people are cranky about the ballot, they're cranky about voting, right? It's still an important tool. And this is information about the ballot that you are not going to get from other places, for real. 877-500-5266. Really invest in this programming and make sure that it's pumping out news and information to Portland, Hood River, Corvallis, Albany, all over the region. That's why it's important. Come in person. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue.
Jacob. This is community action right here. This is our social change radio happening, and you're listening to it, and you hear it on a daily basis, 365 days a year. We have real people in the air room every single day, 24/7. At times like these, we need to band together. Other media outlets are normalizing exclusion, are promoting hate speech. KBOO is a station that encourages communication, encourages the sharing of unheard and excluded perspectives. Our time is now. Your time is now. Become a member right now. Don't wait any longer. Think about giving an hour's wage a month. Maybe you make $15 an hour. Support KBOO at the $15 a month level. Call right now, 877-500-5266. We'll be happy to offer you thank you gifts. You can hear all about them, but you need to make that call. 877-500-5266.
Welcome back. Joseph Santos Lyons here for the last, my last episode, at least for September, of Voices from the Edge. And we're having a great time here in the studio with Reyna Lopez and Diego Hernandez. And I want to go back to you, Representative Hernandez, around just sort of like life in the legislature as one of the few folks of color. I think one of the things that we've observed, you know, from the outside and got to experience sometimes even up close is like you were giving some amazing floor speeches and you were really changing, I think, some of the narrative and bringing some of the, you know, different history and experience, you know, directly into the process, you know, both within the Democratic caucus, but also in the larger legislature. And I remember, you know, standing outside while you were giving a floor speech around just the value and need for cultural competency. I heard the piece around ethnic studies, and I know you also worked on a bill and gave a pretty powerful floor speech around the privacy rights for Oregonians, especially immigrant Oregonians. And just wanted to ask you sort of, you know, what did it feel like sort of being, you know, a legislator in such a white space, and some of the ways that you were able to create that internal culture change in the legislature?
Yeah, I think something I already talked about was step one was building a team that I knew reflected the communities that I represented on the one hand. On the other hand, I came into the legislature with a group of 9 other legislators. We were the most diverse elected group of freshman legislators ever in the history of Oregon, where we were mostly women, people of color, or from the LGBT community. And immediately we started to build a relationship amongst the 10 of us, and that really was helpful throughout our journeys, through our committees and floor speeches and debates on important critical issues, to have folks who had your back on the one hand, but also two were there to support you whenever you needed support, and I definitely felt supported. And it was great to be there alongside Representative Teresa Alonso León and Representative Janelle Bynum and Mark Meek and Tana Sanchez, Representative Tana Sanchez, to have folks of color. Really, we met up together as a POC caucus and really shoot the, you know, and and really use that time to help each other.
Yeah, debrief, make sense of what's happening.
Exactly, yeah. And empower each other as well, and know that we have to stand up and do the right thing. I think our voices were very, very critical in not only the Democratic caucus in making sure that our rest of our caucus understood where we were coming from and the issues that we were facing, and that collectively we must prioritize these issues, but then translated later to the rest of the body to say, these are our collective wishes in terms of cultural competency, ethnic studies, and other important critical issues. Obviously, that came with consequences, I would say.
Mm-hmm. There was like some major pushback, some of which has been reported on in the media, too.
Yeah, unfortunately, close to the end of session, there was a rumor started about me, and it was, I imagine that those who started it wanted to silence me. I was pretty vocal in terms of talking about these issues, immigrant rights, racial equity, in a way that really pissed off a lot of people.
Right. So the rumor about ranking lobbyists, women, based on their attributes, what do you have to say to that at this point? The legislature has cleared you. They did a full investigation. They found these to be false. But anything else you want to say?
Yeah. So I actually asked for an investigation on the one hand. I think the investigation itself was interesting because what they did was look into whether I did something bad or not. And it wasn't around why would I be a target of such harassment. And I think this goes to the heart of the issue that many folks of color in different types of institution face, that when there are incidents around racism, when there are incidents around bullying and harassment, and
sexism, mm-hmm.
We are automatically the persons that are at fault by default. And I think that's part of implicit bias. The question doesn't get asked, like, why would anybody else create an environment for this to exist? That wasn't part of the inquiry, unfortunately. So having to wait for an investigation to clear me then leaves the responsibility to change that culture, to change that institution upon myself. And obviously, I have folks who are going to help me try to do some changes to the institution to make sure that those that come after me, folks of color, young people of color, vocal, loudmouths who speak their mind, that come after me, have a better and safer environment than what I found when I got there. Mm-hmm. And it was important for me to be very strategic for how such a rumor, how I responded to such a rumor. Because I knew that whatever I did created a consequence, whether good or bad. So I was very strategic in terms of making sure that I did it in a way that will set us up to change the culture and environment of that institution. And that's what we're going to do. And I'm not going to stop until we do that.
Mm. Thanks. We'll be right back. We are listening to Voices from the Edge, KBOO FM. I'm Joseph Santos-Lyons. Thanks.
On KBOO, this is KBOO's fall membership drive. This is the last day of our fall membership drive, and now is the time to give. Can you do $10 a month for community radio, for hard-hitting, deep analysis, community connection, can you support? $10 a month, you will get a USB drive of exclusive audio going back to 1968. The last 49 years of KBOO community radio includes so many voices from the civil rights movement, from the American Indian movement, people like Vandana Shiva, who are organizing in the food movement and the eco-justice realm. We also have Ernest Kallenbach, the author of Ecotopia, speaking in 1978. It's just so many, I can't even list. $10 a month will get you that. If you could do a $25 a month, you'll get the KBOO hoodie. We need to raise our goal for this hour, and we need your support to do it. 877-500-5266. My name is Jenka, and I'm here with Lisa, and we are asking for your support. We did great during Democracy Now, and now we need some support for Voices from the Edge Talk Radio.
You know, you're listening to Oregon State Representative Diego Hernandez live in Studio 2, talking in an unfiltered manner about the experiences that he's having as a groundbreaking member of the Oregon State Legislature. He's a lawmaker, right? He's unfiltered. You're not hearing his opinions coming through an editor or a reporter from a cranky libertarian weekly, anything like that. This is real, and it's talk radio, so you can actually call up and talk to him directly. And that's what we're bringing. That's what we're bringing. This matters. You know, you are connected to the political roots of your region, and it's powerful, and we're asking you to invest in that to keep us strong. 877-500-5266. Again, come in person. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. We've got coffee. We've got a wonderful banana bread. We've got all these things, but we need you. You need to show up for social change by giving us a call. 877-500-5266. 5266.
You know, when you support KBOO, you support radical approaches to problem solving, making the world a better place. We know that our listeners, you're smart, you're beautiful, you're people who care about the world and want this world to be a better place, and you're doing it in so many ways. You're active in your community, you're engaged civically, and you are supporting community radio because it's the right thing to do. And you know how important it is, especially at a time right now of censorship of journalism, of attacks against journalists. Real journalism like KBOO provides is becoming fewer and farther between. And we need your support to keep this station going. This is the way we're funded. We don't have commercials. You listen to KBOO 24/7. You can listen to it commercial free because we have community support. Because we have people like you who decided, yeah, I'm going to take this action. It's not too much for me to do $10 a month and support community radio. It's not too much for me to actually pick up my phone and say yes to this type of radio. 877-500-5266. If there's something here that speaks to you and you want it to continue speaking to you, call right now. We need to reach our goal in the next 9 minutes. We need 10 of you to give $90 a year. If you could do that for KBOO, that will allow us to reach our goal. 877-500-5266.
When you invest in these airwaves, we take your money and plow it right back into the programming. And again, I mean, to me, one of the most important things that KBOO does is free training. People can come in here and learn how to do radio. You can come in here and do a podcast. Next year, our 50th anniversary year, there's going to be a big showcase of podcasts. And that's exactly what we give back to the community. And when you give us a call at 877-500-5266. Your investment resonates across generations. Again, 50 years on the air. We have people on the air right now who are so important. They're doing the real work of social change. And because it's talk radio, you can call them and ask them about it. Anyway, 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Give online, kboo.fm, or in person, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue.
It's so important that you call right now and support this show and let our hosts know that, yes, talk radio is important. And it's important that we have these community discussions every single morning. We open our phone lines and we allow the discussions to happen uncensored. We don't have a call screener like some of these other stations. No, we put you on the air immediately. You're talking to your elected representatives. You're talking to the different figures and different people that we have on, some of these amazing authors and analysts, and you're talking directly to them. And we do that because we have community support. This is a community run radio station, and you are part of the community, and now is your time. What is the level that's right for you? Decide right now. Is it $10 a month? Is it $30 a month? 877-500-5266. Make the call that makes the difference.
Welcome back. You're listening to Voices from the Edge. I'm Joseph Santos-Lyons here in studio with Reyna Lopez and Diego Hernandez. And we're going to begin to wrap up. And, you know, we were talking about demographics earlier and recognizing that there's over 1 million people of color now in Oregon. And looking ahead, you know, Oregon is also on its way to becoming majority folks of color. Yet our politics and our representation really does lag far, far behind. And Diego, wanted to sort of ask you as we close, you know, what's your take on the Oregon's demographics and what we might be seeing and the implications of that?
I think Oregon demographics, it's an important data point. But as we've seen in other states where communities of color have been the majority and yet still lacked political power, we must be conscious of that and here in Oregon say, is it that we are only trying to achieve equality by matching our demographics to the statistics of representation, or are we more visionary than that and say we must exceed that in order for us to achieve equity? And I think that's the vision we should all collectively take, that we need to look beyond that data point and say, in order for us to have more representation in a way that we have historically never had, in order to change the realities in these disparities of data, that we look at that vision instead of trying to meet exactly to how our demographic population is on the one hand. On the other hand, I do genuinely believe that communities of color know this and are already organizing to get on to different types of leadership positions. This last special election season, we saw more people of color run for school boards than we've ever had in the history of Oregon. And as a school board member myself and attending the Oregon School Board Association conference,
Reynolds School District,
right? And 4 years ago, I was one of very few people of color, and then this last summer, I was one of many people of color, and I really love that shift, and I think we're headed towards the right direction as many of us continue to organize that way.
What are a couple of the ways in which we can better support folks of color getting into elected office? Like, are there any structural changes that we need to be looking at in terms of the cost of campaigns or the pay of legislators or the, you know, accessibility for folks to get into politics?
Yeah, I think we definitely need more capacity in the C4 area. We need organizations that are community-based to think about that, and I think that's already happening, to build these organizations that are developing the folks who will be ready to go into politics, be able to raise money, be able to be great policymakers, and then build the other additional types of organizations that do the retention component of it, building of community amongst those that are elected, to build support services amongst each other. It's a lot of infrastructure in which I know it's being built, and it's not there yet. So for those that do run and are elected, I know that many are face a really hard time being the only person of color either on a school board or being the only person at the table, person of color at the table in most of critical important meetings. So there's a long ways to go, but we definitely need that infrastructure. We also need folks who know how to run campaigns, consultants who come from our communities, who come from our experiences, who will lead campaigns in a way that authentically portray us rather than those consultants that may have good political knowledge but have no idea of the experiences or even culture or historical realities that our communities come from.
And Reyna, you've worked on many of a campaign, and we're looking ahead to 2018, the May primaries in, I think, May 15 or May 18, 2018. If someone wanted to get more involved in a campaign now, what should they be doing if they're a young person out there?
I also just want to echo so much what Diego just said about the consultants thing. We do need to see more people of color in those spaces becoming the consultants. I also feel like in this last election, a lot of we ignored our new rising majority, the people of color, young people, women, and we need to make sure that we maintain and expand the engagement of those folks. One little organizer plug that I just want to make, because I'm a shameless organizer and you know that I have to do this before I go make an ask. Anyone who's been to any of my speaker trainings knows that you got to make an ask at then. This Saturday, for folks that want to come out and support the Daquistas, Heartbeat Silent Disco is actually throwing a Latin Love for DACA event. It's a benefit event from 5 to 8 p.m. on Saturday over at the Portland Mercado. And they're going to be on Foster. Yeah, yeah, they're going to be all the proceeds are actually going to be going to Momentum Alliance, who are doing some good work, amazing work around DACA renewal and the DREAM Act, and getting at the table and making sure that that dreamers have a voice and cultivating this policy so that it's something that we actually want.
Excellent. So Saturday at the Mercado, what time?
We're doing 5 to 8.
5 to 8 p.m. So if you want to show support for the DACA and the DACA Organizing Momentum Alliance, come out to the Mercado on Foster. I think we're going to be there. Yeah. Well, thanks everyone for listening today. This is my last show. It was great to be able to be on the air with friends and organizers throughout the month of September. Tune in next month, every Thursday, 8 a.m., Voices from the Edge. Have a great day. Thanks.
Gracias. Bye.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Good morning. It's 9 o'clock. This is KBOO Portland, and we're in the midst of our fall fund drive. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to make your pledge and help out this community radio station. Coming up later this morning at 11 o'clock in Between the Covers, Jake Verma speaks to poet Neil Aitken about his collection Babbage's Dream, evoking the designs of 19th century mathematician Charles Babbage, who conceptualized the first mechanical computer. That's at 11 on Between the Covers. Then at 11:30 on the film show, we'll look at two new documentaries. Charlie vs. Goliath is the story of Charlie Hardy's fight against big money in politics. Then the director of the Eco Film Festivals, Don Smallman, will talk about Winona LaDuke's new film, First Daughter and the Black Snake. KBOO keeps you informed and can get involved during this fall membership drive. 877-500-5266. Coming up next, it's Press Watch with Teresa Mitchell.